And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so we're going to kick off the first dipper, and I will tell you right now, keep texting, keep calling. The phone number still works, 833-687-4448, and we are working to reboot our texting system, which is just maddening. It's very cool, by the way, when it's working, which it has been for the last several years. It actually, we have all your texts are coming up on a computer screen printout, and it's actually very cool and easy to work with until it decides not to be. You still working on that right now? Still buffering over there? What the heck? Okay, anyway, enough of that. I got to tell you, so the first dipper here is called Good Enough for Government Work. Good enough for government work. Well, how'd you do down there? Well, you know, good enough for government work. I mean, what does that even mean? What it typically is designed to mean is ain't too much going on. You know, we got by. We did enough for government work. The standards were kind of sort of met. No need to excel because we're not in the private sector. That's the way it feels sometimes. Now, I know it's not always true. Granted, there's a lot of folks on a government dime that are doing amazing work, research, you know, putting men on the moon. The whole thing was all government work. I get that. But there are things happening right now, though, that I would just say government work just took on a whole different shine, if you know what I mean. Like a lot. Like, wow. And here's one that I didn't even have in my resources. My friend Amy from Rainbow City, she texted me. She sits on the state library board, which has been, you know, the center of gravity for controversy in the state now for about over a year, where we're finding all these public libraries using taxpayer dollars to put books in the kids section that teach them how to, you know, be gender fluid and, you know, and how to tuck themselves and use the right pronouns and whatever else. It's ridiculous. Well, she just sent me a text with a copy of a letter that was received by the state library board. And oh, by the way, all of them received it around the nation. It is from Matthew Vaith, acting director of the Office of Management and Budget for the Office of the President. Subject: temporary pause of agency grants, loans, and other financial assistance programs sent out to all the library boards around the nation, letting them know that as of immediately, like we're not even waiting to hold a big committee meeting first, as of immediately, the Alabama Public Library System State Library Board got the letter, and it says there's a pause on federal funding to make sure programs are in compliance with the executive orders from the president. No DEI or renamed programs, no books encouraging multiple gender identities, no preferred pronouns, no transgender ideologies in children's books or universities as stated in the executive orders. Y'all, can I have some applause on that one? I think that's like worthy of some applause. It's filtering down now. It's filtering down to the state level. It's not just the Department of Defense is saying stop DEI. What we're seeing right now is if you want to continue federal funding, which you'd be amazed how dependent state entities are on federal funding. If you want to continue to receive grants from the federal government, you're going to stop being the big woke library. You're going to stop trying to teach kids things that parents are shocked to find out is actually in the children's section of the library. Stop being the center of controversy and go back to being the place where it's safe for kids to go and they're not being sexualized, you know, below the age of majority. That's cool. Amy, thank you for that. I hope you're listening right now. Amy, thank you for the work that you do on the State Library Board. I know you take heat for it on a regular basis from the libs who try to call you out, but you know what? You have stayed in the fight, and you are indeed a right side ruffian. But what else is happening? What else is happening in government work? Well, lots. Not the least of which, and I've got a whole section later in the show I'm calling Doge This, where we're going to talk about Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, and what's happening. Where are they saving money? But Doge, I had to put this one in the front because it specifically goes to this dipper about government work, because government workers are being called back to work. Now, they'll say, well, we've been working from home all this time. Why? Why? Well, it's very productive to get things done at the house. No, actually, you and I both know it's not. Are there occasions? Sure. I work late at night. I work early in the morning. I do things on the weekend. So absolutely. There is a level of professionalism that comes with getting up in the morning, making your bed, putting on real man clothes, and leaving the house on time to get to the office. It's called professionalism. It's called an expectancy. It's called get your job done. It's called show up and do the work. Well, I've been doing the work. I Zoom and I use Teams meetings and I submit my papers. Do you sit around in your flannel pants with your bedhead, sipping your 15th cup of coffee out of your favorite sippy cup? No, that stuff is over. Well, right now, President Trump issued an order. And I got this from the Populist Times Dateline yesterday. It said that 94%, this shocks me, 94% of federal employees have not been regularly showing up to work Monday through Friday. 94%, JP. JP, you show up for work every day.
I do, yeah.
You show up for your radio show on Saturdays.
Yeah, I do.
And you do it like getting up out of bed, putting clothes on, and coming to work.
Sometimes. No, I'm just kidding.
JP usually wears pants when we're on the radio. But 94% of federal employees reportedly were not showing up to work 5 days a week. Top offenders were the Department of Energy, the Agency for Global Media, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with appalling attendance rates of, God, Department of Energy had a 0% attendance rate, 2% for Global Media, and 6% from the Department of Ag. 6%. That basically, Department of Energy had 0% of their employees showing up 5 days a week. 0%, brother.
So,
it also points out that the Biden administration reached a last-minute deal with the Federation of Government Employees. Remember this right before the election? Hey, what do y'all need? We really need your vote. Can we give you something? How about this? We'll extend work from home till the year 2029. Why? Five more years. Why? Why would that be needed? It is not. All right, Trump put an end to it. So at the advice of the Department of Government Efficiency, the Trump administration is determined to end this lax work from home program. Issue went out. Here it is. Quote, heads of all departments and agencies in the executive branch of government shall, as soon as practicable, take all necessary steps to terminate remote work arrangements and require employees to return to work in person at their respective duty stations on a full-time basis, provided the department and agency heads shall make exemptions as they deem necessary, like someone's sick, someone's traveling, someone has a family matter they have to take care of. I get it. Those are the one-offs. They're case-by-case basis. We don't have this blanket, we're just going to sit at home and put on a wrinkled shirt and try and do a Teams meeting on time. So good enough for government work? Well, guess what? Government's getting back to work. And I, for one, am glad. It's maddening. The private sector's out there doing everything it can. And I do know that people remote work. I get it. I know people whose jobs are designed for work from home. And I get it. But not all of federal. And by the way, federal government leases a ton of its buildings. And they sit empty. And we pay the rent anyway. They sit empty with utilities on, the heat running, things sitting there, computer workstations, and then when people work from home, they often want to be provided a laptop so they can have access to their systems. And then what do you do when they have a security clearance? How are they handling security clearance work from home station? Because that's not a SCIF. That's not a secure environment. They can't have CIPRNet, the secure internet, in their home. That's done. Mile. Afuerte!
Afuerte!
We got to get a recording of that.
Yeah. That needs to be a sound bite, a sound button here.
Hit me some afuerte. Afuerte! All right. How about this one? Good enough for government work. The Department of Education hasn't quite gotten the memo, but they're working on it. Daily Signal has a story that came out yesterday. The executive order went out that there are only two sexes. Why did that have to be an executive order in the first place? You ever thought about that? The very idea.
Yeah, that's...
We had to have the president tell us there's only two sexes.
That's the left going too far right there.
Daily Signal. But the Department of Education is aware and is still trying to make the changes that the online applications for the federal student aid program still ask whether you consider yourself to be non-binary. I get it. Trump's only been in office for a week. But I will say this. The Department of Education did not play around. They said they've already taken steps to ensure that the forthcoming application process reflects the biological reality. There are only two sexes, male and female. So, yeah. Can you, I mean, Joe Biden jacks so much stuff up. I can't even picture in my head, 10 years ago, someone saying, I identify as non-binary. I picture it even less having an official form from the U.S. government asking if you feel like you're non-binary.
Yeah. And it's, like you said, he's only been in office for like a week, and people are already going out and be like, oh, the egg prices haven't gone down yet. It's like, well, he's already, you know, he's kind of busy unmessing up all the other stuff y'all did.
Unmessing up.
So, you know, give us a little bit of time. It's going to take a little longer than a week.
Yeah. How about this one? Good enough for government work. Whatever happened to that abortion rights website? Did you know the U.S. government had an abortion rights website?
No, but because, it doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. ReproductiveRights.gov. Not no mo. It's gone. ReproductiveRights.gov, the website created by the Biden administration to push their pro-abortion agenda, has been shut down. So President Joe Biden's Department of Health and Human Services brought forward the website in 2022 as a response to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Townhall.com, Dateline 2 days ago, says that, yep, they wasted no time. Their website was taken down. It was helping underage girls obtain abortions unbeknownst to their parents. It was helping girls find funding for abortion. It was doing things that, like, okay, first of all, federal dollars are not to be used to promote abortion or to conduct abortions. And yet, the White House had a pro-abortion, here's how you get it done, here's how you can get the money for it website. Not no mo. Things are different right now. When we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you what just happened with the Taliban. Well, yeah. Interesting. Did we just put a bounty on some heads? Apparently so. More of that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, text lines seem to be back up. I'll get a few of those here momentarily. 833-687-4448. I'm doing this section called Good Enough for Government Work. And coming up here in a few minutes, we'll have U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville joining us to talk about the same. But it's interesting, as I'm watching what's happening, the level of government work that we're seeing right now is of a different pace, of a different style, of a different flavor, of a different tone, all of it. Well, how about this one? This is fun. What did Joe Biden do with the Taliban? Well, he sent them billions of dollars in aid after he gave them, like, what, $70 billion worth of military hardware. I mean, just unreal. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, though, on Saturday, according to Newsmax, just threatened putting bounties on the heads of Afghanistan's Taliban leaders. Yeah. Why? Because we find they are detaining Americans. Did you know that? I did not know we had any Americans being detained by the Taliban right now. I was not aware of this.
No.
All right. So Rubio wrote on his social media on X, he says, just hearing the Taliban is holding more American hostages than has been reported. I didn't know any had been reported. He said, this is true. We have to immediately place a very big bounty on their top leaders, maybe even bigger than the one we had on bin Laden. Rubio didn't describe who the other Americans were, but there may have been some accounts of missing Americans whose cases had not been taken up under the Biden administration. I mean, gosh. So the Taliban did free one guy named Ryan Corbett, who had been living with his family in the country, but he was seized by the Taliban in August of 22. Also free was a guy named William McKinty. There's another guy named Khan Mohammed, who's a U.S. a citizen. But right now we're hearing there may be more. And so what does Rubio do? Takes a page right out of the Trump playbook. He goes, okay, we're putting a bounty on your head then unless you start releasing our people. I got so much here in my stack that I don't know that I can even get to all of it before you run out of time. I mean, I'm looking at things like banning of transgenderism in the military, right? That's huge. Or how about this order, the reinstatement of troops who were discharged over the COVID vaccine? Yeah, with full rank and back pay and benefits. That's huge. But I think one that sort of tugs at the heartstrings that I want to bring up real quick, because it's a different tone altogether. It's a different level of government work that we're seeing. Was Trump himself going to North Carolina last week? Trump went to the devastated regions of North Carolina and lingered with the people, and he let them come to the microphone and just say everything they wanted to say. And some cried, and some, you know, vented, and some just pleaded for someone to take note of their plight. And the fact is, we have people right now who are saying it did more for their morale than anything that has happened since the entire thing went down with the Hurricane Helene. I mean, I got a lady here saying, I'm optimistic that President Trump is focusing his energies here. I don't think the people could have handled much more. And listen, what we're looking at is a government that wants to do things for people at the grassroots level, that wants to show up and say, I'm here, what can I do? And not just tell you, well, that's a bureaucracy thing, and we're going to make a soundbite and give you a $700 check, and it's all going to be great. If you'll stand in line over there for 4 days, we'll find you some stuff. No, we got a different level of government work going on right now, and it couldn't have come at a better time. All right, coming up in a few minutes, I'll be talking to Senator Tuberville, and I got to tell you, he just got a plum assignment. So Senator Tuberville has been on the Senate Armed Services Committee now for, you know, I think most of his tenure. He was just named as the chairman of the subcommittee for Armed Forces personnel and readiness, I believe. And that's a big deal. So I'm looking forward to getting his perspective on how things are going in D.C., what about his new position, and where are we headed with the U.S. military, all here in a few minutes. Let me get a few text messages before I do that. Brian from Huntsville said earlier, Harry Turtledove, a book called How Few Remain. It's fiction, but it points out the strong men in our past. That's a good one. I'll check that out. I've never read Turtledove stuff, but I've heard it's great. J.T. Lacey Springs said, as to the monologue, my texture is not refreshing. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm about to reach into that screen. Okay, I got it back. What do you got?
I was going to say, at least you have access somewhat.
JT Lacey Spring says, good monologue as usual. Just want to comment on yesterday's in regards to how fast Colombia's president responded to Trump's tariff threat. Between holes 3 and 8, Trump was playing golf, but it was putt-putt. Okay, Trump was playing golf, but it was putt-putt. Yeah, my texts are updating as I'm watching. This is great. I mean, they're just popping in. Casey, Junebug from Hartzell says, excellent monologue as usual. What an amazing son you and Charlene have raised. Thank you, and I agree. Thank you so much. So I think it's important for men to understand how much positive influence they can have over young people in our country. As a mom, I've worked hard to raise strong Christian children, but words from their father's mouth just have more influence. It's frustrating at times, but I believe that's the way it should be. I hope men will realize this truth and step up to the challenge. There's no replacement for strong men standing for truth and what is right. Junebug, thank you. And thanks for being the mom that you are. All right, listen, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, y'all stand by. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two here on Taco Tuesday. We got a listening audience that's like just going gangbusters right now, covering all of North Alabama and all the way into East Tennessee and Northwest Georgia and parts of Mississippi. Listen, we're going to go right now to the phones. Alabama's senior U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville is going to be on the line with us here momentarily. And you may want to know that in the new era that we're in, that U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville was also just recently announced as the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Personnel, which means he has direct impact over things that deal with manpower and readiness. He has been a stalwart when it comes to issues for our veterans. And in this whole discussion I'm doing about, you know, government work, and I think it's a different era we're in, like I said, Tuberville's in the thick of it. So let's go ahead and get him on the phone. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us, and congratulations on the new chairmanship.
Well, thank you. We're going to be focusing, Phil, on recruiting. How about that?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be a novel thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a mess right now. We're way behind in recruiting. Actually, the last month and a half since President Trump has been elected, our recruiting has skyrocketed. And do you think there's any correlation there about whether these young people, men and women, you know, have any confidence in President Trump as Biden's administration? It's amazing how things have changed here, Phil, in just a short period of time.
It really is. And you know, I'm a third-generation Army officer myself. My son's on active duty now. I can just tell you it's refreshing to know that there's an entirely different style of leadership that puts the troops first. I mean, I look at that in Hegseth's nomination. I look at that in your appointment to readiness and personnel. Let me ask you about that, too, Senator, if you don't mind. I know that one of the things that President Trump signed was an executive order saying that he's going to restore anyone who wants to come back in who was dismissed because of the vaccine mandates to their full rank and benefits. What are you hearing about that?
Well, 100%. And, of course, he ran on that, and President Trump is staying with all of his campaign ideas that he ran on. And people were expecting it, but it's only the right thing to do. And what they did to our military during COVID is an embarrassment to, you know, all the veterans, all the people that have been in the military before, you know, COVID. And you know, my dad was career military, and they pretty much have tried to destroy it from within. You know, transgenders in the military, President Trump signed an executive order saying enough and that enough's enough. You know, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars for a transgender person to stay in the military for healthcare reasons. And plus, they can't deploy. You know, you can do whatever you want, but it doesn't give you the right to just do anything in terms of the federal government, especially being in the military. But there's all kinds of things that President Trump's going to touch base with. But again, it all goes back to one thing. We've got to get this woke DEI nonsense out of the military. It's not an affirmative action situation. And, you know, some of the hearings I'm going to have on the personnel committee is like bringing up our supervisors from our academies, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force,
yeah.
Because it has really gotten deep into those, Phil, and we're not going to have it. We have got to clean house.
We do. I actually sit as a member of the board of advisors for a national organization called STARS that deals with, it's a bunch of retired, you know, generals and admirals who are sick of seeing wokeness in the military they love, many of whom are academy graduates, and they want it out of there. But listen, I mean, I think there's going to be a weeding out that has to take place, obviously. But I'm stoked about where it's headed. Can I ask you, though, in terms of recruiting, I know we're looking better right now, but are we going to wind up seeing, do you think, a complete uptick and put us back to full strength?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. But first of all, you know, you can recruit all you want, but if you don't train them, and actually war fighting instead of do all these classes in DEI and social justice and woke, that's a problem in what we're hearing in our military as we speak, that when they go into whatever branch of the military, they spend a tremendous amount of time in the classroom being detoxed and brainwashed in all these crazy ideas instead of going out shooting guns, jumping out of planes, learning how to drive a tank, shooting off, you know, a missile, in something that characterizes what we do as a fighting force, not this agenda that the Democrats want to push on our young people of brainwashing them into something that they don't believe in.
Yeah, listen, Senator, I got to tell you, and I don't mean to get on my soapbox. I asked for you to call in, but I got to tell you, as a battalion commander, one of my last officer evaluations I had to write for a young captain was to evaluate his service as a combat leader, and I was required to delete some of the entries that I had put on about what a great combat leader he was to make sure I included mandatory phrases about him adhering to the equal opportunity plans and sexual harassment programs of the command. And it just galled me that I had to delete what he was good at to say what they wanted to hear. I just hope more of that's gone soon.
Well, new sheriff's in town. Yeah. That's going to change.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, one of the big things that I like about Pete Hegseth is he's closer to the age of the warfighter. And he's not one of these woke DEI generals that have their feet propped up over in the Pentagon that are over there collecting a paycheck, drive around. Everybody opens the door for them. They never touch a doorknob. They have a $250 million budget, each one of them, with 2,000 bureaucrats hanging around or civilians that are snapping at their every need. It's time that we get back to spending that money on these young people that want to fight and protect us in this country, because that's where it should go. I mean, we're top heavy right now. So we're meeting every day, Phil, here in my office with, you know, the deputy SecDef, people that are going to be in charge of the Pentagon, and it is really, really refreshing to actually hear people talk about making this country better, making our military better, and protecting the United States of America, our borders, and our allies. It's totally refreshing.
Well, glad you're in the chairmanship that you're in, Senator. And let me switch gears with a little bit of time we have left. Confirmations are still ongoing. We've gotten, of course, Hegseth. We've gotten Kristi Noem. We've gotten the DNI, John Ratcliffe in. Several of them are in now, but there's some big ones coming up this week. What are you expecting with some of the more contentious stuff, like with Tulsi Gabbard and with RFK and even Kash Patel?
Yeah, well, the three big ones are Kash Patel, new FBI director, Tulsi Gabbard, intelligence, and, of course, RFK. And as I've told my fellow Republicans in luncheons and stuff when we have, listen, RFK helped get senators and the President of the United States elected because millions of millennials looked at what he talked about, what he thought about, making our food better, making our health better, and that's what they care about. And if we don't confirm him, we're going to lose those millions of millennials going back to where they were on the Democratic side. So I hope we understand that. You know, he, of course, he's out of the box, which I'm fine with, but he's going to have good people around him, the CDC director, the NIH director. Dr. Oz is going to be here working with him. He's got a great team, but for some reason up here, even Republicans, you know, they feel the power of, hey, you know, nobody can tell me what to do. I'm going to vote on who I want to. Well, this is about America. This is not about your ego. But Tulsi Gabbard is going to be huge. Now, she's got some people that are concerned about her going to Syria or whatever. Like I've told them, listen, I'd go to Moscow right now and meet with Putin if they'd let me, because we got to get that war over with. And that's one of the reasons she went to Syria back during when we were having problems with Assad. But, you know, again, these people know better than everybody else, and we just got to get through these next few weeks, get them all confirmed, and Kash Patel has to get the FBI back, you know, on America's side instead of on the deep state side, and that's going to be a big one also. I've got RFK in a hearing on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Yeah, absolutely, and I look forward to seeing that. I'll be watching the televised version, but do you anticipate any of these having to go to recess appointments? Is Trump going to be able to get them all confirmed through the full Senate process?
Well, problem with the recess appointments, and, you know, it's good to talk about, but you got to be in recess for 10 days.
Right.
There's no way that we can take 10 days off up here, get one person a push across the finish line. We have got a lot of work to do in the next 24 hours, much less, you know, the 10 days. So we got a lot of work to do. I just hope my fellow Republicans, because we can do it without Democrats. Just, hey, bite the bullet. Let's get this done. You know, put your concerns behind you. Trust President Trump. Trust the 77 million people that voted for him. And let's make this country great again.
Outstanding. Well, listen, I got to ask you, though. I was up there for the inaugural events. And just the tone in D.C. feels different. And from an outsider looking in, but I talk about it every day, but from an outsider looking in, it feels like there's an entirely different feel to D.C., and I'm wondering, what's it like from the inside? Is it feel different to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is it different? I mean, it's night and day. Of course, you know, we have the majority now in all phases, and you've got a leader. We know what our leader stands for. Whether he's right or wrong, he's going to tell you what he thinks and what he believes and what he's going to do. And he's made more decisions himself than Joe Biden made in the whole 4 years he is here. You never knew from one day to the next what was going to happen here in Congress because Joe Biden was out to lunch. I mean, he wasn't making the decision. Somebody else was. So that's the reason you have to have a head coach or a president that you know is going to make a decision. Now, again, it might not be right, but he's going to stand beside it, and he's going to make sure that the decision he makes is going to be for the best of everybody. So, again, it's hard for these egos up here to look at that and say, you know, I've got to fall in line. But tell you right now, our country's still in trouble. We've got a lot of things to do to get us out of trouble. We're so far in debt, we can't see straight. And if we don't get cut our budgets and get the debt down and grow this country, get our GDP up around 3.5-4%, it's going to be hard to make it. And again, President Trump's doing everything he can do in those two areas to get this, to make sure the taxpayers in this country understand what we're doing to make it better.
Well, and I agree. And listen, I know that you know what I'm saying when I say this because of your own personal background, but you can come in with a game plan, but sometimes you got to change the plan to adapt to the game. And I've noticed that President Trump has been willing to pivot. He's been willing to make snap decisions, and they all seem to abide by the same principles that he came in with. And I just want to encourage you and thank you for what you're doing, because I feel like there's an opportunity here that may not come along in another generation.
Yeah, and the good thing about President Trump is, I go back to the leadership part, he's not afraid to make a decision because he knows he's got people around him, and if he has to adjust, he got to adjust. But we can't hem-haw around, Phil, in the next few months and get this country back. We don't have enough time to do that. We got to do it. We got to do it now, and then we got to have a lot of people behind all these decisions to make it work.
All right. Well, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, I want to stay in touch, and I appreciate you making time for us today. And we'll wait and watch, and then we'll see what happens next.
Grab a hold and hold on, Phil. Don't be bumpy.
All right, Coach. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville. And I do think he's right. Grab a hold, because it's going to get bumpy. But you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. If things ain't bumpy, ain't nobody leading. You know what I'm saying? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. So it's a whole new day, man. I'm just telling you. And I'll go ahead and wrap this segment. I ran a little bit long with the senator because I wanted to get as much time with him as I could. So we only got a few more minutes here to the next break. But I'll just tell you, it is an entirely different tone right now. And in fact, you can also see it. You can also see it in the White House press room. So the White House press room, here's a brand new thing. Caroline Leavitt, who's the brand new press secretary. Man, nowhere to go but up from there. Karine Jean-Pierre. Does anyone even know where she is now? Who cares?
I think she's writing out her application for The View.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it would. They got a seat waiting for her.
I could see it. I mean, maybe she could replace Whoopi. That'd be awesome.
Would it be much of an upgrade?
It would not be, anyway. But anyway, so the brand new press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, being gone, Caroline Leavitt is there. She held her first presser this afternoon. We'll have a clip from it here in a little while. But she ran the podium, and she ran it pretty well, by all accounts, like knocked it out of the park. The lovely Charlene just texted me a little while ago and said she knocked it out of the park. But they also did something new and different. Within the press pool now, you have people from what is considered to be the non-mainstream media. You've got podcasters, you've got social media influencers, you've got bloggers, you've got people being allowed press passes to be at the White House press pool to ask questions and be a part of the daily pressers. Y'all. And the press has had access to the president and the vice president like nobody's business. I mean, the Biden administration called a lid on the day at like 1, 2, and 3 o'clock on the average. Trump is answering questions at all hours, just saying, what do you got? What do you want? What do you want to know? And just saying it. And I'm telling you, the press may not always like him, but they like his access. I guarantee you they do. It's an entirely new day. I got a couple things here in the stack that I didn't even get to, but one of which that I talked about briefly. I talked about it with the senator a moment ago. And this is a big deal, y'all. We had over 8,000 troops that were released from the military, lost their careers, some of whom had, just about got to the point. So there's a thing in the military called sanctuary. If you reach 18 years of active duty time, they cannot just reduction in force you. They have to keep you to 20 because you have reached sanctuary for your retirement. There are people who were like on the cusp of sanctuary who lost their careers, lost their retirement, had served this country well. 8,000 plus were discharged under Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's edict from the Biden administration that because they didn't want the vaccine because of religious accommodations, they just were out. Well, Trump has issued an order, or preparing to sign an order. I'm sorry. I pulled this one off of Red State. Pulled this off of Red State saying he's preparing to sign the executive order that he's been talking about. All members of the armed forces who are discharged will be reinstated, and they'll be reinstated with full rank, back pay, and benefits. Now, I don't know how many of the 8,000 will do it. There's probably quite a few that have had a couple of years of growing their hair and feeling better about life. But there's going to be some who are like, friggin' right I am. Sign me up. They got to come in and do a PT test, see how it goes. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're about to put some experience back in the ranks. And I think they're going to come in with a good level of mad, if you know what I'm saying. I say bring it. Put in a bunch of hard stripers who earned the right to have that job, and let's get them back in the ranks. More to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.